B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Stay tuned. That's coming on now. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, he covers the Birds for the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, and he's terrific. And he'll be my sounding board for today. Jeff McClain. Good morning. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Anthony.
All right. So I got lots. You got to bear with me. All right. So let's tackle the fourth down play first. All right. Now,
which one?
The first one with the egregious one.
The sack.
It was completely egregious. Now, yesterday during a news conference, it felt like he was ready to defend it. And in fact, he jumped the gun. I think the question was before yours or whatever, when he was taught, he was asked, and you actually clarified it because he was talking about, well, yeah, I'm always going to throw the ball. And then he was ready to talk about the fourth down. And his answer is, well, if it's executed properly, it's converted. And Jeff, I believe that's true. Yeah, most times, if you execute properly, it works. Here's the problem. You had a patchwork, literal patchwork offensive line in front of you, which means a lot of things can go wrong, and the chances you execute properly are probably thin. And if you just pump the freaking ball there, you got a better chance. You don't give Dwayne Haskins, who had trouble matriculating down the field, you don't give him a chance on a short field when you're clinging to a three-point lead and have lost all momentum. Can you make sense of that?
So you didn't like the play call, or you didn't like the decision to go for it?
I hated the decision. The decision to go for it on fourth and a long three when you're clinging to a three-point lead is ridiculously dumb. It's all balls and no brains.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely programmed to answer the question about aggressiveness. I was clarifying more about Carson. Carson holding on to the ball too long, but that wasn't the circumstance
right
there. Yeah, I understand you're arguing about his aggressiveness. Certainly you can question it. I mean, it's kind of been Doug's MO since he's become the head coach. We've seen it pay off a lot of times, but
we saw it pay off in Super Bowl year. Since then, what's the stat, Andrew?
It's not as good.
8 for 24.
8 for 24, yeah. On fourth down.
Yeah, not as good.
In fact, that's bad.
It could be your default mode.
He says, well, you know, I always take into account situation. Well, if you're taking into account situation, do you realize that you lost all your momentum? You're clinging to a lead. Give your defense a chance against that kid who had trouble going down the field. It's outrageous to me. And you know what it is? It's the freaking analytics in his ear constantly.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's a big part of what they do. And Doug, for the most part, listens to what those guys are telling him. I think there are a few times when it's a gut thing for him. In that circumstance, I bet you it was probably more the analytics of the
situation. Yeah, I would think so too. And here's what the numbers don't take into account. The feel of the game and how you had lost all your momentum and the fact that he was a green, inexperienced quarterback who had trouble going down the field, and the fact that you're playing with an emaciated offensive line.
Right? No, absolutely. I mean, you have to – sorry, my battery is dying. You have to have a growth mindset and thinking that, and even over the course of a single game. So, you know, you're playing going in, and that's kind of what I'm more critical of Doug was, that he just didn't adapt to the situation that was developing in front of his eyes. And that, as you mentioned, was certainly the offensive line not being able to handle that defensive line and Carson imploding right before our very eyes. And obviously what was going on the other side of the ball, because Washington was unable to move the ball, and you had Dwayne Haskins, who is not a superior threat out there on the offense.
I just think that this is something that he'll never get away from. And I think it's doom.
I mean, I'm not willing to go there. I mean, we're one game in, and I knew.
I'm not talking about, you know, for the year or anything like that. I'm talking about this mindset. I'm talking about the mindset that he doesn't even look at the other side. Now, and this is not, this is just elemental football. This isn't anything deep. Like, how come he didn't do anything to negate the pressure? He went away from tempo. He didn't run one draw play. Not one. That one delayed handoff.
Well, he ran a draw on 3rd and 15, which I couldn't believe. He did one draw. I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, so.
No, that's not the place to run the draw there.
No, it wasn't. So, like, yeah, he was conservative at times. I couldn't believe he was being conservative there. I mean, like, I thought last year Doug was really conservative at times when he should have been more aggressive. To me, that's been the bigger issue, is that he just hasn't been as consistent as he was previously. This year, yes, I thought he was over aggressive on Sunday.
Right before halftime, what are you doing? You're getting the ball back in the second half.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Well, I mean, you hit on that long shot there to Rager, and we're talking about a different ball game too. But I mean, he was wide open. Carson just flat out missed him. And he missed Deshaun too. Carson was terrible.
Wow. All right.
I'll be honest with you.
I didn't think he was good. I didn't think he was particularly good, but
he's doing stuff that bad rookies do.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to throw the ball away for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no. I you're dead right about that, without a doubt. And if you keep playing that way, you're going to get hurt.
But you're going to get hurt, and you're just going to lose games. You're just going to continue to lose games, and live for another day. You see great quarterbacks do that.
Yeah,
Wilson
agree.
Does it. All the good quarterbacks know when to play dead and they know to throw it away. Carson's not the athlete that he thinks he is. He can't escape from all these. You know, he could as a rookie in his second year, but he's had knee surgery. He's had back issues. I understand he put on additional weight. He's not eating pizza anymore, et cetera. But you got to know when to throw the ball away. And now, at year five, especially.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen. That's elemental stuff, too, without a doubt.
Yeah, get out of field goal range.
No, that was horrible. You're right. It was horrible. He didn't play particularly well, and I agree with you. There was lots of mistakes with him. I wasn't through with Doug yet, but I do feel like, I don't know,
I just watching the game and seeing everything, I just thought that, no, I mean, you could fault Doug on a lot of other different things. I mean, I thought just coming in, you'd have a little bit of a more conservative game plan. You'd have, look, the whole point of bringing Rich Scangarello in was to have more play action, more naked boots and those subtle plays to fake a defense and to move the pocket. And I'm just surprised they didn't have that coming in or have those plays at the ready. I mean, they did it a few times, but I was just surprised they didn't do more of it to help account for the fact that you had a rookie, pretty much essentially a rookie right part of your offensive line.
Doug
definitely doesn't escape, shouldn't escape any criticism here. And Carson played great for the first 28 minutes of the game. Although, again, there were a few instances in that period where I felt he was still holding on to the ball too long.
Yes.
But, I just felt like, offensive line was not good. So Carson was getting hit a lot. He was trying to do everything himself, but they were still winning at a certain point. I just felt like he just didn't need to go there. But it's not just something that was one game. It's something that we've seen now.
Without a doubt. Again, if he keeps playing that way, and I said it a million times, he's not going to last until the middle of the season, and the whole thing's a disaster. So you're 100%. My beef with Doug was just different. I just thought I didn't get his play calling. I thought he missed an opportunity to negate pressure. Where was the three-step drop? Where were the balls out?
Yeah. No, there wasn't that. I mean,
I saw that Sunday night with the Rams. I saw McVay negate the Cowboys' pressure 15 different ways, whether it was misdirection or whether it was tempo or whether it was quick drops and the balls out.
They know how to do that. I mean, they've done it to perfection. I'll never forget the game against Denver. They took Von Miller out of the game. with scheme. And, you know, they didn't do that in this game. Of course, they were hindered. I mean, the offensive line, but that's a whole other issue. And that's one that I have a problem with too, because how that unfolded and how you have weeks with Jason Peters or, you know, almost 2 weeks of Jason Peters not playing where you know he's going to have to end up playing. And you got these guys not playing in the spots that they're going to play in week one.
It's ridiculous.
I think more needs to be spent on that issue as well. And Jason Peters, I don't fault him for wanting to get more money. The Eagles probably should have done it right away and said, hey, okay, let's eat it. Let's get him the left tackle.
Exactly.
Let's figure. We know Lane's not going to be ready for week one, or there's a strong chance he's not going to be ready for week one. We already know that Brooksy's out. We already know that Andre Diller's out. Let's get our line that we know we're going to go into week one. Nate Herbig didn't win the right guard spot until Thursday before the season opener. Thursday.
Yeah, and they were raving. Doug was raving about Pryor. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, you can't take anything they say at face value. Anything. You know, they were basically downplaying off the record to us all these injuries for weeks. And, you know, it's just, I get it, it's gamesmanship at some point. I don't care one way or the other, but, you know, and I guess maybe fans are expecting Miles Sanders to be out there, et cetera, but, you can't take anything I say at face value, or Doug especially.
Right. Well, speaking of, makes sense of the receiver, rotation. You know, DeSean Jackson says he wasn't hurt. I thought he was hurt. I'm shocked. Yeah. Is that what was he hurt or not?
I didn't see it. He on the first interception, or was the second one? One of them, he ran down the defensive back and tackled him, and was kind of a little slow getting up.
Yeah,
but he himself tweeted out that he was healthy. I'm not as fixated on that, because I just feel like you're going to have to play DeSean like that to get him through the season. Or at least to get him through the season.
I disagree with you. Dude, you can't play load management in football. The guy goes, the guy goes. You need him on the field. You can't, first of all.
Well, that just tells you about, I think there's bigger issues. The construction of the roster is an issue because you have.
It's a huge issue.
Right, because you have these young guys that you're going to have to play, and you want to kind of, immerse them in the offense, or like kind of ease them into the offense, but you're going to have these growing pains with Hightower and Rager. And you're still having them with JJ Arcega-Whiteside, who
can't play,
didn't
you
have
mean?
One target.
Yeah.
Didn't have one target. I mean, you know, he looked better in camp, but Carson doesn't trust him. He doesn't run good routes. So, and he's not going to be your first target in a lot of circumstances. So,
you know, it's mind boggling
as well.
What's mind-boggling is how many times do we see middle round picks, receivers, skill guys playing week one? I never see that. Let alone when you've had no preseason games. That's outrageous. Like, Hightower looked like a middle round kid who looked overwhelmed. That route was a horrible route on the second interception.
Yeah, he should have.
He didn't cut it. You could see it. He didn't come back.
The ball was out before, he came. I thought his route was worse than the Rager interception. I think the Rager interception was more in Carson than the second one.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd say the second one was probably a little more in Hightower, although.
Look at the route. It's not the kid's fault.
But he ran a great route earlier, but he dropped the ball.
Yeah.
He was wide open.
Yeah.
It was a great route. And you could see the speed. You could see the athleticism of both these guys. They're going to be good, but you're putting them in situations now where they're not exactly ready.
They're not ready. Right.
Which is why Alshon Jeffrey may end up playing for this team.
Oh, my God. Listen, I'm not saying it's all gloom or anything like that.
No, I'm
really not.
It's a really bad loss.
I'm just so frustrated. Right. I'm so frustrated by you can't give away games in this league.
Yeah. Especially against bad teams. Right. So, but, you know, to, I know this is all doom and gloom, but, you know, They could certainly turn this thing around. And yeah. You know, the Rams look pretty good against the Cowboys, but they're beatable. Beatable. I understand the home field advantage. You don't have as much of that with no fans, but you are home. You don't have to do all the travel.
Right.
So, you know, you could turn this thing around in 1 week, and they got the Bengals who are just, you know, not great right now. All of a sudden, you're 2-1, and you're going to San Francisco. So,
well, you better be 2-1 going into those three.
There were positives, and you know, I thought they were going to blow this team. They blow their 17-0. I mean, everything suggested they should have blown them out. But as you mentioned, you're right. I mean, a lot of those fall on the coaching. I mean, that was a big load of that loss falls on Doug's shoulders. But you know, there's other fingers to point at other players.
Without a doubt. And listen, I love Doug. Like, I don't want to pick on Doug. I think he's terrific. And when he deals with his players and that part of it, I just think sometimes game day in game, you know, some guys, it's tough to do call plays, manage the game. I think he relies too much on analytics, which I completely disagree with. And sometimes his play calling, I think he needs somebody else. I've always thought that. But
interesting, yeah.
You know.
Well, here's the one thing. Is that, you know, Doug is in some ways an orthodox play caller. He does things that a lot of play callers wouldn't. And I think it played to his benefit early in his play calling career. You know, Frank Reich would talk about it. I mean, for instance, remember the Falcons divisional playoff game in 2017? He called the same screen two plays.
Yeah,
never
do that.
And they hit on the second one with J.H.I.
Yeah.
Like 40 yards.
Yeah.
And Doug, I mean, Frank Reich pointed that out. Frank's like, hey, I wouldn't have done that myself, but hey, look, it worked, you know?
Right.
But you're wondering if that quirkiness is now kind of backfiring on Doug when he does stuff like that, or doesn't really kind of play, you know, doesn't think second next level in terms of how he's calling plays.
Yeah, brother, you're the best, man. I'm sorry, I could go on all day. I'm getting the wink. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, man. You're the best, Jeff. Jeff McClain, inquire.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.